ध्यायामोदबलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् So in the previous day, we saw the first half of the third shloka. Arurukshur Muner Yogam Karma Karanam Uchyate. For a person desiring Yogam, Karma is the way out. So Karma we also saw as Ishwar Arpitam Naichaya Kratham. Action which is performed as an offering to Ishwara, and without craving for the fruit of the action. So that helps, that purifies the mind, and that helps us to go from karma to akarma, so as we discussed in the previous day. So karma, a person has to get rid of the bondage of karma. Karma bandham has to be overcome, like a person has to get rid of the bondage of karma in order to attain yogam, because karma means dvaitam. Dvaitam means sankalpam or dvaita satyam, like considering duality as real. That is dvaitam, that is sankalpa. And that sankalpa, in order for us to attain yogam, sankalpa has to be got rid of. We have to get rid of sankalpa in order to attain yogam. So therefore, a sadhaka has to do yoga. Of course, we also know we cannot, at any point of time, we cannot, at no point of time can we get rid of karma. Karma is something like which we don't have an option of, we don't have an option of whether to do or not to do karma. Some or the other action, like we may have an option of doing certain types of karma. So we may have an option of like attending Gita discourse now, or like we may have an option of doing something else, doing bhajan or chanting or watching TV. So we may have an option with regard to that, but we don't have an option of whether I want to do any action or I don't want to do any action. So as Krishna says, Nahi kaschit chanam api jatu tishtatya karma krit. Not even for one moment can a person remain without doing actions or action. Actions are inevitable. We don't have the option of whether or not to do action. We do have an option of trying to find out the right attitude behind the action. That means performing action in such a way that we will be able to get rid of the bondage of action, which means, as we discussed, karta, karma and phalam, the triputi. We have an option of whether to have triputi or not, whether to be attached, whether to be the karta, or whether we want to be a sakshi to the triputi, thereby not getting bound by karma. So when a person, like we have discussed this, but just again briefing, when a person is the karta, then obviously a person will become the, or be affected by the fruit of the action. So depending on factors, like depending, karma is like a bank balance, Amma says. So it is like a bank balance. So whatever we have accumulated in the previous birth, with respect to that, what will happen is we will be able to, we will get the appropriate fruit. So we will get fruit. It may not be what we want. So it may be like good fruit or bad fruit. So, and depending on other factors, like we may like the good fruit or we may like the bad fruit. So good and bad are relative. Some people might like good fruit, some people might like bad fruit. So that also, like that is also there. Like we can't just say that, like whether it's going to be good fruit or bad fruit, and then again, Karma. Karma means like it will only give us temporary fruit, which also means that we will be led back to karma. So, karma can be considered winning a gift. So, we go to a store and then we win a gift. So, there is a gift, like if it's sale season. So let's say it is Christmas season or Thanksgiving. So, there are deals, like there will be deals. So, 50% off, 10% off. So, the 10% off, like what do we gain by that 10% off? The 10% off means, like we will get more store credit. As we see is common. So, give coupons or however it is pronounced. So, coupons for the same store. So, that means pulling people again back in. So, that is a way. It's trying to lure people more into it. Like whenever we return something also, they will say, do you want store credit or cash? Some people, they won't even ask. We will only give store credit. Why? Store credit means they will be pulled back into it. So that is like this attitude or this is called as repeat customers. So repeat customers means customers like who come back again and again. Customers who again and again come. So those are called repeat customers. So that is common with respect to stores. The same applies to karma as well. The more and more we do an action, we'll become attached to the action. So we'll become attached to the action. The action will become as if a vasana. So what will happen is, like we will be forced to do the action over and over again. So we will repeat, we'll repeatedly do the action again. So as Vidyaranya says, kurvate karma bhogaya. Karma kartum cha bunjate. A person does action to enjoy an enjoyment, like while enjoying, he prepares to do more action. So this chain goes on and on. This is a never ending chain. It never ends. So it will go on and on. Where will it end? It will not end anywhere. Basically, it won't end anywhere. Like from one birth to birth. So from birth to birth, like we will continue. We'll go from like one, we'll go from like one, one life to another life. So one birth, this birth, like we'll do something, and the next birth also we'll do something. So it will continue over and over again, and like we will not get any satisfaction, any contentment. So we'll be bound by the action. So many of the today's stores. Today's consumer market, they all strive to get such repeat customers. So that is why the ethics in stores, that customer is right, treat the customer in the right way. So all those are done like because in order to pull customers back again. The more and more a customer comes, the more and more like they will have money. The more and more people will have a chance of making lot more money, and if there is lot more money made, then definitely there will be profit, and then like it will be a steady business. So the same can be said to be of karma as well. It will never end. So the more like we do karma, the more and more like we will want things. So and there is no limit to desires. Desires never have a limit. So today we will want, like it's like money, thirst for money. So thirst for money like is something which never ends. So today we want like $1,000, tomorrow we may want $10,000, and then it will grow. It will never end. By the time like we get $1,000,000, we crave for $1,000,000, and we get $1,000,000, there will be too many millionaires in the world. Then it will be $1,000,000,000. By the time we become a billionaire, there will be more billionaires, trillionaire, zillionaire. It will go, like where will it end? It will never end. It will never end. So like by gaining a lot of money, like we may, we will also cause a lot of trouble for ourselves. If we have a lot of possessions, then we have to worry about protecting those possessions. One second. Yes, sir. So if we have a lot of possessions, then we have to worry about like maintaining those possessions, keeping those possessions safe, ensuring that thieves don't come. So all those we have to be very careful about. So if we wear a lot of gold around us, like when we go out, what will happen? Even if a thief or a robber comes with a knife, seeing that gold ornament, like he will try to steal it. And if we try to resist or something, or somebody else comes up, then the person will not even think twice to kill us. So if we don't wear any of those, like why will the person hurt us? The person will not hurt us. So the thieves, thieves of like sense objects, sense organs are thieves. Sense organs and the mind are thieves. Like if it finds any loophole inside us, like if we are like it will see, like if we are attached to the to an action, if we are attached to a particular object, then that will be used for their survival. The mind can survive only if the mind feeds on desires and the sense organs feed on the sense objects, because that is their very duty. They have to go beyond objects. The experiencing objects is their food. So if they like, they'll ensure that they get that food. That means if they find that we are attached to something, immediately they will pounce upon that. So how often have we seen that like we are attached to something, some food, and then like the mind always ensures that like we go behind that food, or ensures that we get that food, or we pass by that food. Many times, it's kind of very common. That is kind of like a natural tendency, even like for us, survival of the fittest, we can say the same thing. So karma, the bondage of karma is so strong that the more and more we do, we will never get any kind of contentment. If we have to get contentment, we have to cross or go over the bondage of karma by remaining a mere witness. Then the karta will just do action and accept whatever fruit comes his way. So there will be no bondage. And when there is no bondage, there is no expectation. So like when there is no expectation, then the fruit of action will always be blissful. So why aren't we satisfied with the fruit that we attained? Because expectations are there. Companies, why do companies always like end up in profit? No company will end up in profit, but the thing is, they'll set their expectation. So they'll set their expectation in such a way that it is not low. Each year, like, they have to make more profit. So today, like, whatever is the profit made, or today what is the revenue, like, they have to increase that revenue. So they'll increase that revenue, and when they increase, expectations are set higher. And that's why like companies also, when the economy goes down, they set the expectations low. But any expectation set, it is always a problem. Like, we'll have to attain it, and we can never say it, we will attain it. So we set an expectation, a company sets an expectation. What happens, like the company building gets bombed, what will happen? Everything gone. Will always be sorrow. At least chance of sorrow, 50% probability of sorrow is there. So expectations will not be there if we are not the karta. So the doer will do action without expecting anything, by considering everything as Ishwara's will. So when that happens, whatever is the fruit, good or bad, whatever fruit we get, we will be very content with it. So with such contentment, like if we are able to be content with whatever result we get, then like we will be experiencing immense bliss. So bliss, oh bliss, is this the same as like experiencing happiness when something good happens to us? No. Bliss is something like which is beyond happiness and sorrow. That is the meaning of bliss. Bliss means that which is beyond happiness and sorrow. So that means there is a state like where we are happy irrespective of whether it is happiness or sorrow that we experience. It's a state of equanimity, or a state like where we are able to remain steady. It's a balanced state. So balanced state means like we remain like we are balanced. Our state is very balanced. Whatever happens, we are fine. We are okay. We are content. So that is what is called as bliss. Bliss is not just like an experience of the external world. So that is why bliss is different from the bliss or anandam, as we call, as we gain from the Atman. From Brahman is different from the temporary happiness or unconditional happiness that we get momentarily from drugs or any other means. Because that is temporary. that is temporary, and then like once we don't get it, we become sad. So it is kind of dependent. We are affected by the outcome. The outcome should be good. If the outcome is not good, we will become sad. So that is how it is there. So therefore, like, we will suffer at all times. So whereas when a person does action without getting attached to the action and without getting, without seeking or expecting the fruit in return, irrespective of whatever happens, there will be only bliss, equanimity state will be there. But that is only for a sadhaka. The more and more we improve, implement this, the more improved we will become with implementing it. So while implementing it, like, we will forget, as we discussed yesterday. So while implementing it, it will always happen that was like we are able to do it. After 10 minutes, like, we forget it. Again, we repeat. Again, forget, repeat, forget, repeat, forget. This continues. This constantly continues until we become established in that. So it becomes very natural. When it becomes very natural, there is no karma. So when we are implementing, or trying to attain yoga, implementing the sadhana for yoga, so then what happens? Like, if we are implementing the sadhana for yoga, then like we will have to ensure that we do actions in such a way that we are not affected by the action or the fruit of the action. But once we attain the goal, once we attain yogam, then actions automatically fall off. Then that means there is no action. So initially, when we try to perform such arpana buddhi or action as an offering to Ishvara, when we do that, actions are still there. It is a constant struggle. We constantly struggle to overcome the bondage of karma. We constantly struggle. It is a struggle to constantly get rid of the karta. It's a very constant struggle where we have to try to get rid of the kartrutvam or doership and the result or seeking the result of the action. So it is a constant struggle. It's a very constant struggle while we are treading the path. But once we attain yogam, then it becomes very natural. So it becomes very natural when we attain yogam. That is what Krishna says in the second part of the third shloka, which we are discussing today. Yeah, so as I was telling, So as we were discussing, so the second part of the shloka, Krishna talks about the state like where a person has attained a yoga. So once a person attains yoga, then like such a person doesn't have to give up karma. Such a person doesn't have to give up kartrutvam or being the doer, or give up the fruit of action. So, like I said, it becomes very natural. So, until then, it is a constant struggle. Therefore, a person has to do action. So, a person will be doing action in such a way that the target or the goal is to overcome the bondage of karma itself. The goal is to attain yogam where karma doesn't exist at all. But until then, it is a constant struggle. So a person has to perform action in an actionless way, or that is what is called a selfless action. where there is no attachment to the karta, the doer, there is no attachment to the karma, there is no expectation of the fruit as well, but still karma continues on. So yoga rudasya tasya eva shamakaranam uchyate. So once a person attains yoga, so a person who is established in yoga, yoga rudaha, the person who is established in yoga, for him the karanam, the reason or the cause of yoga is shamaha. Shamaha means complete cessation of action. So when a person is treading the path, when a person wants to attain yogam, karma, in such a way that a person tries to overcome karma, that is the cause. That is the cause of yogam. Whereas like once a person attains the goal, then complete cessation of action or inaction in its entirety is the way out, is the cause of yogam. Ultimately, like, it doesn't matter, we don't have to go, it is just how we look at it. So whether we are performing action in an actionless way, or whether we have overcome action and it becomes natural, whether we put effort into performing actions in an actionless way, or whether it becomes natural, naturally we perform action in an actionless way, it doesn't really matter. The end result is what really matters. So the result of performing it, whether we put effort or not, is that we will attain yogam. So attaining yogam means sankalpa is not there. Sankalpa is not there means dvaitam is not there. Dvaitam is not there means dukkham will not be there, which means a person will be able to rejoice in bliss. So the end result, that is what really matters, not like as to whether we put effort and attain it, or whether we attain it without any effort. So what really matters when we are going to office or work is reaching work. So we may go like by car, we may go by bus, we may go by walking, jogging, cycling. There are many ways to attain or reach office. So attaining the office, like, there are many ways. It doesn't matter how we attain it. What is important is attaining it. Of course, then in that case, why don't we follow any religion? Why don't we follow any path, like Advaita Vedanta? Why don't we follow? The goal is important. The reason is, like, while we are treading the path, we should know what the goal is. Yes, the path doesn't matter, but the knowing the goal does matter. It does matter as to how we see the goal. A person who sees the goal as a source of sorrow, such a person will not even attain the goal. A person who sees the goal as a happy place, like, he will attain it very quickly. So that means it does matter how we look at the goal. So therefore the path doesn't matter, but if the path is such that, like, Dvaita Vedantam or many other paths, then there the goal itself gets distorted. So when the goal gets distorted, then, like, if goal is what is important, like, whatever we want to attain, that is important. If that itself changes, then how will we attain? Like, how can we say it doesn't matter what path? So keeping the goal steady, whatever path we take, it doesn't really matter. But the goal is important. So it doesn't matter, like, whether we put effort into overcoming karma and attaining yoga, or it happens naturally. It doesn't really matter. What really matters is whether we are able to implement the selfless action, whether we are able to offer actions as an, like, or perform actions as an offering to Ishvara, while all the while, like, remembering that everything is one Ishvara. So when we do this, such an action, Brahmanyadaya Karmani Sangam Tyaktva Karutiyaha Lipyate Nasa Papena Patma Patram Iva Ambasa. A person who performs action as an offering to Ishvara without getting attached to the action itself, such a person will not get tainted, affected by the fruit of action. So tainted by action, like, the taint of action means getting affected by the good fruit, bad fruit, and the more a person does action, it will spread more. So which means like the more and more a person does action, so like what will happen is like the bondage, it becomes a bondage, as we said. So the more and more we do, the more and more we want to do. So such bondage, such tainting will not happen. So when such tainting doesn't happen, a person will be able to remain unaffected by the action or the fruit of the action. And that is what is required in life, that we are able to do action. We are not getting away from action, we are not running away from action, but we are able to perform action in such a way that we remain unaffected, unaffected by the outcome of the action or the action in itself. So that means life will become very blissful. So blissful living is not not just getting rid of actions like once and for all. So as we discussed like in the previous days, it is impossible. It is almost impossible to get rid of, like it is almost impossible to be without and performing any action. It is almost impossible. So therefore we have to do action. But what we can do is we can ensure that while we perform actions, we are unaffected by the fruit of action, thereby we are able to ever rejoice in bliss and attain yogam. Yogam, jnanam, moksha, anandam, all are the same. So whether it is through karma, bhakti, jnanam, all everywhere the emphasis is on advaitam. So while explaining karma, it will be with respect to performing actions. How can we implement advaita in performing actions? By bhakti, it will be like more about implementing advaita in our mind. So jnana means like implementing advaita in the intellect. So yogam again is with respect to the mind. So yeah, now the focus may be different places. Like we may focus on the world, we may focus on the mind, we may focus on indriyas, we may focus on the intellect. It doesn't matter where we focus. What is important in all of those is advaitam. So here, yogam through karma is when we implement advaitam in karma. Advaitam in karma means all these actions are, there is only one Ishvara. That means these actions are temporary. So if these actions are temporary, then we will be able to do them. Even as an actor portrays a role. So when we are able to do like that, then we will not be affected by the fruit of the action or the action itself, and thereby we will overcome the bondage of action. So it is all advaitam. So like just remembering that everything is one Brahman and doing action, automatically we will be able to overcome the bondage of action very easily. Everything is one Brahman, everything is one Ishvara. If we keep that in mind, the bondage of action will immediately be overcome. And that is what is required, that is what is essential in life. So that is the goal of life is to remain unaffected by the activities that we are performing externally, and whatever happens in the environment, like whether an earthquake strikes or it is raining, it is snowing, it is sunny, like we are we get a promotion, we get demoted, it doesn't matter what happens, irrespective of what happens, remaining very blissful, that is the goal of life. And that can be attained through performing actions in an akarma, actionless way, and thereby like we will attain yogam and ever rejoice in bliss. So may Amma bless us so that we may be able to attain yogam through performing karma. So performing actions in such a way that we are not affected by the action or the fruit of the action, and thereby are able to ever rejoice in bliss. We'll continue in the next day. I'm sure.